All right, so I want to go back for a second on some of the things you said. One of the things you talked about was obviously the enterprise email, 500,000 users. I mean, if you've missed that story, that's a huge progress report. If you remember if you know the background of the Army enterprise email, they had some challenges, they had some struggles, but getting to 500,000 up, I think the end goal is 1.4 million from the Army alone.
Correct.
So they're almost halfway there, and it's really paving the way for so many other things than just email. I mean, people think email, if you think email is the gateway to everything else, and I think I had a great conversation with, I think John Hale on your staff just recently, and he just went through so much what could happen next, not just, oh yeah, we hit 500,000. Are you starting to kind of get more people moving from kind of looking beyond email at this? Are people saying, okay, well, email's nice, but wow, look at all these other things we can do because we're consolidating, we're going down to this one enterprise system in this data center,
right, many data centers. He's spot on this. And the fact that enterprise email is just the catalyst that allowed us to build the architecture behind a single Active Directory and a single infrastructure foundation that allows us to bring other tools, other capabilities like collaboration, like SharePoint, all under the same foundation. So you don't have to build these multiple environments underneath it to manage that infrastructure. So that's the conduit that allowed us to build the infrastructure. And if I could sell anything as part of the email, it's building the infrastructure underneath it that we did for the Department of Defense. And that's what's the sales pitch in bringing more capability. SharePoint, collaboration, unified capabilities, all those as under, capabilities that would ride under a single framework. So that's really the sales pitch that we're trying to push.
And a lot of people focus on the consolidation of data centers. Well, if we get rid of them, we can save X amount of dollars. Or if you pull the power cords out, you're not going to spend so much on cooling or heating or whatever you do with data centers. But really, it's that end goal. So let me actually throw it over to Cindy for a second. I've got a chance to talk with Susan Swart, who was the CIO up until about a couple weeks ago, right before she left. And one of the things she talked about was all the different initiatives you guys are doing to improve modernize the State Department's technology. By consolidating data centers, do you see that in the long term, saying, or even the short term, I guess, look at the benefits we're going to get by only having these four data centers or six data centers?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I think the biggest benefit to the State Department for consolidating our data centers is that, first of all, we've gone to really highly available, highly scalable data centers. We didn't have that in the past. We were having system outages because the infrastructure was old and failing. We were running out of power. We couldn't, provide footprint space to our customers. So the biggest thing that's happened to us is just providing that highly available and scalable infrastructure. And one of the things that's hard to do is it's hard to put a cost on that because, a lot of people will say, oh, I can run my data center cheaper than you can, the rogue data center people, but they're not in a tier three facility. And so it's very hard to put a cost on that. But I think that's been a great value to the business. We knock on wood wherever I can find it. We are not having the outages that we had before, and that's been great.
And in a lot of ways, when you make the data center work, when you don't have the outages, as you all probably know well, the people who are doing the mission don't even know that there's no problems. I mean, it's that they only know when there's a problem. And I imagine now your customers aren't probably calling you up going, hey, thanks for keeping our system up now. They just stop complaining, which is three quarters of the battle, I think.
They don't complain.
Alfred?
Can I write on to Cindy's comment? Cindy was spot on, because I think one of the challenges we have in DISA, and everybody hears it, is that some of the costs that we have to deal with. Putting in place an infrastructure to include tier three data centers that build that availability and that reliability behind them, cost. And in my business or in my world, we run under a working capital fund or a revolving fund model, which means I have to recover all the costs, just like any other data center vendor out there. So the cost to continue to sustain and maintain a tier three data center and the availability that end user wants to see, so that they don't have to worry about the application going down or that I'm running out of power or I don't have a 2N architecture for power and comm that allows them to make sure that it's always up and running. That there's cost behind that, and that has to be recovered. And so it is a balancing act on making sure that we put that capability in place, but keeping it at the lowest, from an economic perspective, lowest cost available.
Cindy. Yeah, and we're getting ready to go to our working capital fund model for our data center, and I think it's going to really be unpopular with our customers, and we're going to have to constantly fight exactly yeah. what you're doing mm-hmm. now. But we're trying to gear up for that PR yeah. you know, program. But
well, I'd like to offer my services as a journalist to break the big story when you do go there. I can help you.
Okay.
That's what we do here at Federal News Radio. We help. Let me actually turn to Zach. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
No, what's interesting is that you guys are bringing up two of the topics that in the initiative over the 2 years, I think the biggest barrier is to really do data center consolidation, you have to successfully deliver enterprise services mm-hmm. from a centralized location. Right. Culturally, people don't like to give up control. Right. They want to see the blinking lights. They think they can do it better and cheaper, which they're not capturing the fully loaded cost of some of these rogue data centers.
Right.
But also, it's been institutionalized by the way the budget's done. We have federated agencies where each bureau has their own CIO, their own IT budget. And getting them to buy into the enterprise and give up that control, that touching the lights kind of control, is really hard to do. So seeing that as the biggest barrier, and I think Gmail, because GSA has actually gone to the cloud in their email, but I see that as a great like gateway into more enterprise services. Everyone, you know, GSA had 17 locations. We moved 17,000 people to email in the cloud. It's great. We get all kinds of you know, we use all kinds of devices now. We went from Lotus Notes to Gmail in the cloud. So it's been great, and now we're moving on to offering platforms, trying to standardize across a couple different platforms and things like that. But this moving to enterprise services and getting people to give up control, buying in, having SLAs between now your bureau customers is the hardest fight we have here with this consolidation, I think.
Yeah, the old hug the serve. Now remember, there's two microphones here. If I see you guys not paying attention or playing with your Blackberries or iPhones, I have a wireless mic. I will walk off the stage. Not a threat, just what I do. I'll trip. But so if you have questions, come to the microphones. In the meantime, I told you, I can go all day. Let me actually go back to Zach for a second. One of the things about the consolidation initiative is agency plans and as they're coming in. Can you? The August 3rd deadline came in. That they hopefully submitted some plans and some updates. What are we finding from that? Are you seeing some trends you can kind of talk to?
I think people are really kind of buckling down and looking at identifying, obviously with the numbers going up a little bit, identifying these outside data centers, these small server rooms. Another big barrier of closing these data centers is how much does it cost to run a closet with 30 servers in it? It's an unmetered part of a building. You're not going to be able to, you know, resell that those, 20 square feet or whatever it is. So finding motivation and whether it's, you know, stick or carrot to get people to give up these outside data centers and come to enterprise services. But I think that's a trend we're obviously pushing for. And another big trend is not concentrating on the numbers so much. You know, like I said, this isn't about closing data centers. This is about rationalizing a very underutilized IT infrastructure across the government.
Now, there's also supposed to be updated inventory plans that are coming September 30th, so about a month away. Are they started coming yet, or are they? Are agencies like, you know, college students, they get the paper done at, you know, 12:58 of a 1 o'clock class?
Yeah.
Of course not.
Of course not.
But no, we actually did get the data. The inventory update is done.
Right. That's from data.gov, right?
Yes, and that's out on data.gov. The plans are coming in September.
I'm going to interrupt real quick. And Zach gave me a great idea because I was looking for that data. If you can't find the data, because data.gov searches, well, let's say you need some help. So if you're a vendor out there looking for help, Zach, I don't know if he controls it. But you can go through Google, the Google search, or any other of the search engines and find the data.gov that way. Would you say search FDD?
FDCCI.
FDCCI. All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
And also anything, all the templates for the plans, all our memos, everything we have out there can be found on cio.gov/FDCCI. And we'll also link to the public plans when they come out. Usually that's about a week after they're due on September 30th.
And you guys just updated actually a guidance and a template that was just put up there. See, I visit the site way too often. So when I have something's new, I get very excited and I read it. And there wasn't a lot of news there. You've hurt my feelings, Zach.
Yes,
we have a question, sir.
Yes, good morning. My name is Leo Mikowski. I'm with Brocade. Thank you very much, panel, for the information. I found it very helpful. Zach, early in the presentation, you had mentioned that you host a DC data center consolidation task force. You also mentioned that there was sharing of best practices. And what you just mentioned may have answered this, but how are these best practices disseminated among other agencies, particularly ones that may not be on that task force? And is this information publicly available? Thank you.
So yes, we have it's the CFO Act agencies, so there's 24 agencies, including DOD and state, and we meet monthly. Every month we have an agency come in and tell us a success story, whether it's around virtualization or migration or cost savings around a data center. Sometimes slightly redacted, but they are published up on cio.gov/FDCCI, our page, and hopefully that we can disseminate towards some of the smaller agencies. But the 24 agencies making the task force covers 99% of the data centers across the government. So we do work with the small businesses, but hopefully disseminate through the site.
Zach, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Is there a recent best practice that kind of sticks out in your mind, even if you change the names and the titles so no one gets hurt?
Well, since I actually do work for GSA too, I'll give you a good GSA one. We had us. we had Sonny Hashmi, who's the deputy CIO under Casey Coleman, and GSA is implementing a force platform where they're starting to build applications across the agency. So I've actually developed an application on a force platform, and we had it designed and built in about 6 weeks working with working with some people. So successfully going out there, we lost a lot of applications were written on the Lotus Notes background, and we need a new platform to develop those applications. So we have an enterprise platform that we're deploying across the agency that different groups are using to develop applications. All right. So that's one of the success stories. It's not all about closing data centers. A lot of it's about, you know, standardization and virtualization.